Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Bruce Piasecki, author of New World Companies, also Missing Persons, A Life of Unexpected Influence, also Doing More with Less, and Doing More with Teams, etc., etc. The Surprising Solution, they just keep coming. President of the AHC Group, a global organization helping people learn how to do a better job of managing and valuing and holding our usage of all our finite resources down as much as possible. Bruce, thanks again for being here. You were talking about I love people who can come to who can join our show and tell my small business audience what big companies, our big business customers, are going to require from us. I remember Y2K when Y2K happened. We got letters and said, if you're not Y2K compliant, we can't do business with you.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. We've gotten other letters like that, right? So.
Well, that in fact, if I want to put some words in the voice of the chairman of this working group that we have on innovation, and his name is Ken Strassner, and he's formerly from Kimberly-Clark.
I know Ken.
And he says that my own view is that however insufficient and inefficient the Paris Agreement may seem to small business, it represents a turning point on the climate issue, and that smart businesses will now be forced to figure out how to prosper in this new world, and innovation will be, as it always is, a key to their future success.
But let me tell you something, though, Bruce, and speaking for small businesses, and I think I can do that on this, especially on this issue. We're not religious about climate change.
I agree.
We're pragmatic about it. It's not an ideology for us. It's a bottom line. It's a line item. And so when we see energy going one way, and we're trying to make a payroll, energy prices going down, we're trying to make a payroll, we're even less religious about it. That's not to say we don't care about the planet. It's not to say that we don't, maybe even many of us believe that there's such a thing as global warming, climate change. But you've got to speak to us. Whatever you speak to us, you've got to talk in terms of a business and not religion or ideology.
Well, I'm also, what I have found is that attraction of capital and talent is the key for small business. And so one of the things that's coming out by working with these multinationals and their investment houses like Calvert or Trillium is that investors and investment managers have discovered just in the last 2 years that the firms that are more competitive and are more successful are the ones that can compete for capital and talent based on this doing more with less and doing more with teams theme. Now, there's this whole new field we've been studying, Jim, that is called environmental, social, and governance practices. And what we're finding is, after the 2008 financial crisis, one out of $6 is already bedded and vetted in this ESG metric. So at the same time, money is flowing. There's still $5 out of $6, thank God, going in the old way. But what we're trying to indicate to these companies and trying to track is that ESG metrics now more than ever are addressing risk factors to small businesses, and they're becoming predictors of long-term success. So when you want to go from five people to 25 people, you got to learn how to talk that language.
Be specific about that, Bruce. Be specific.
What's that?
Be specific about that. What's an example?
So for example, if you actually display to investors that you fulfill an environmental regulation, if you display to investors that you produce a product with less energy per unit of production, mm-hmm. if you show some social diversity in your team and your leadership, and if, in fact, you show that your governance fits up to the standards of, responsible behavior, mm-hmm. then people can now discern that it's worth putting more private equity into your firm.
Well, let me turn it around and explain to you how this would actually sound and actually would be rolled out in a small business. So the small business is not looking for investors, but they are looking for customers. They've got a big business customer they're making a proposal to. they've listened to your programs, they've talked to your some of your innovators, and they've started using in some of the practices that you guys recommend, and then they're able to, in their proposal to the big company, they're able to say, and this is how we're holding down the use of water, this is how we're cutting our carbon footprint, and or whatever the message may be. But it would be something that the small business owner has determined his big business prospect can use and leverage with their investors.
Exactly, Jim. So take, for example, you hit the nail on the head.
Dovetailing, you're talking business, their language.
Yeah, big business needs proof that some small business can increase the efficiency of their fuel or their propulsion system, that some small business can help them construct a semi or fully autonomous vehicle. You know that's going to happen, that some small business can help in intermodal shipping, or that some business can greatly expand even data to manage transportation functions. And so when you begin to think of it at that level, that's where innovation occurs, is in the small business, so that the Paris Accord and these large companies are getting together on things that are sound abstract, like environment, social, and governance metrics. What they're really trying to do is signal to their supply chain, the small businesses, that they need these vehicles, that they need these propulsion systems, that they need this increase in intermodal shipping. So take, for example,
Bruce, I've got to take a quick break. I'll let you pick up on this afterwards. But folks, the thing is what I just said a minute ago was what you could do proactively. But every day that goes by is going to be another day when you're going to get an RFP with this as a specification.
Exactly.
And you'll have to react to it. And so the reason I got Bruce on the show here is because I want him to alert you to the fact that you can either start thinking of this proactively or reactively. It's coming. These requirements, especially from our big business customers, are coming. AHCgroup.com is his website. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.